Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Krupa Patti, and welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. We bring people together to share their experiences, and this time we hear from Black and Latino men ahead of the upcoming presidential election in the United States. Kamala Harris wants to be the first woman to become president of the United States, but there is much discussion about whether she has what is described as a man problem, as in, will enough male voters support her?
You know, Hillary Clinton was a woman, and I disagree a lot of stuff with Hillary Clinton, but at least Hillary Clinton was a leader. This lady is not a leader.
It is less than 2 weeks to the American presidential election. The economy, immigration and abortion rights are seen as important issues. And there are 7 states in the US which are believed to be crucial if you want to stand a chance of winning the presidency. But when it comes to voters, there's been much talk about men and in particular Black and Latino voters. Historically, they've backed Kamala Harris's Democratic Party. But will they do so in such numbers this time? Or will they be persuaded that ultimately the Republican candidate Donald Trump is a better bet for the dollars in their pocket? Kamala Harris's response the other week was to announce a plan to give Black men more economic opportunities. Well, former President Barack Obama caused a bit of a stir when campaigning for Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania.
Speaking to men directly, part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president. And you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for that.
Former President Barack Obama was pointing the finger at Black men and saying it was not acceptable to support Donald Trump. My colleague Luke Jones spoke to 2 men shortly after that speech. Maroc hosts the Ceylon podcast, which focuses on issues facing Black Americans, and Dr. Tim Golden, a lawyer and professor of philosophy at Whitman College in Washington, who began by saying what he thought of Obama's words.
They were wrong in tone, but they were right in spirit. And what I mean by that is it comes off as very condescending to have your voting preferences condemned by someone who is sort of lecturing to you. However, I thought the urgency and the spirit of Obama's remarks was a good one, because for me, as a Black man and as a Black man who has litigated in the criminal justice system as a criminal defense lawyer representing Black men and women from our community, in order for Donald Trump to even think about getting my vote, the first thing he has to do is apologize to the Central Park Five. For those who are listening that may not know who they are, The Central Park Five were 5 Black men who in the late 1980s were arrested and charged and convicted of a rape and murder of a white woman in Central Park that they did not commit. DNA evidence later exonerated these 5 young men. And despite their exoneration, Donald Trump refuses to apologize to them. And to me, that's a threshold requirement if you expect me to vote for you.
Maroc, do you think that this might push people in the other way? Barack Obama obviously wants people to vote for the Democratic candidate, but do you think this will do more damage than good?
I don't think it's going to do any more damage, but we're just not on the Obama train as much as he is in that fantasy. A lot of Black Americans have noted that he hasn't not done anything for the Black community and hasn't really given us any type of tangibles, as I recognize. The Democrats in general have been noted to treat our own existence as like an All Lives Matter or a Lift All program. Kamala herself is advocating for the Freedmen's Bureau to be about just about anybody. It's not about Black Americans anymore. So we are no longer allowing ourselves to be exploited as hidden figures of our own American history.
Yeah, I get that, except there's one problem, which is Barack Obama's not running for president. Obama's lasting legacy that has helped the Black community tremendously is healthcare. Now over 40 million Americans have healthcare that didn't have it before, and a lot of those Americans come from the Black community. You have to be the president of the entire country. I'm not suggesting that the Democratic Party is perfect, but here's my point. If you think the Democrats are that bad, what in the world would make you think that Donald Trump's policies toward the Black community would be any better?
According to the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, in September, they did some research suggested that one in four Black people under 50 said that they would support Trump. Recent polls have shown that Harris's levels of support are lower amongst Black voters and Black men in particular compared to Joe Biden in 2020. Mm-hmm. If you find it so incredulous that they would back Trump, what do you think of the fact that lots of them are?
I don't doubt that Black men are backing Trump. I have trouble understanding the logic. Since when has the Republican Party been about policies that positively affect the Black community? Here's an example. According to the Washington Post, 96% of the people killed by police from 2015 to 2019 were Black men. And yet Donald Trump has routinely supported stop and frisk, which is a highly militarized policy that exacerbates that problem. So I'm trying to figure out, where are the policies other than being tired of Democrats? I get it, but does that mean that Donald Trump would do better? I don't think so.
Mourad, what would you make to that point?
Neither party is perfect, but what the Republicans are doing in this instance is that they're giving out, to some degree, what we like to say is like consolation prizes. Immigration, for one example, is one of the key things that is harming Black Americans. And I take stride in every Black American up in Chicago or any of these other in New York City that are speaking out and saying that these incoming migrants are hurting their community and have an effect on their livelihood. Mm. We have to take that into stride. I'm not saying that Trump and his administration is absolutely perfect, but we have to make sure that we aren't just voting blue no matter who.
Yeah.
That is not something that we are allowing ourselves to be exploited around.
Podcaster Mourad and Dr. Tim Golden. And when Mourad said blue no matter who, he was referring there to the political colour of the Democratic Party. Next, we brought together two men from two generations with my colleague Mark Lowen. They are Anthony, who is 36 and lives in Dallas, Texas, and 52-year-old Sam, who lives in San Diego, California.
I'm voting for Donald Trump. It's pretty simple for me. The party in power has been in power for 3.5 years. I don't like the direction that they have taken the country, and I'm voting for change. We need new leadership.
This is Anthony here, and I'm voting for Kamala Harris. I've been a longtime Democrat, and my biggest reason for voting for Kamala is I want to make sure that the rights of women and my future children and daughters are protected in relation to their bodies, as well as I align more with the policies of a Democratic leadership in relation to the economy, in relation to the environment.
Sam, let me just pick up on what you said, that you don't like the direction the country's going. What do you mean by that?
The three major issues that are important to me are the economy, also the immigration issue is out of hand and was exacerbated under the Biden administration. Also, the foreign conflicts, particularly the conflict in Ukraine, not so much the conflict in Israel. There's been no diplomacy, no effort to draw down that conflict in Ukraine.
Anthony, do you agree with those three issues being the main problems?
Right now, I think it's understandable in relation to the economy. But I think one thing to consider here is time and time over again, Democrats have had to pick up the pieces from a failed economy and put them back into a place. I think if you look now, hiring and jobs are at an all-time high. I think the problem with inflation is actually inflated. And right now, where the economy is for Americans, I think right now it's growing. I think there's still a lot of opportunity. There is work to be done. However, I think looking back at a Republican leadership, it seems that the economy seems to tank and we're either in a recession or there's either some catastrophe.
Anthony, you mentioned, I'm voting for Kamala Harris because I believe in the rights of women and the need to enshrine women's rights. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think there's a very real possibility if Donald Trump does come into power again that, you know, he could make it a federal ban on abortion, regardless of what he has said during the campaign. That's very scary for women. I think it's unfortunate, and I don't think the government should be at all dictating what women do with their bodies and the choices that they make.
Sam, is this an issue that's important to you?
It is not an issue that is important to me. I don't believe that there's going to be a federal abortion ban. I believe that Donald Trump has been clear on that.
Sam, you used to vote Democrat and you have gone to the Republicans. What made you fall out of love with the Democrats?
Barack Obama.
Despite the fact that he was the first African-American president?
Despite the fact that he was the first African-American president, because when Barack Obama was running in 2008, it was in the middle of a financial crisis. Barack Obama ran on a platform of transformative change. He made the dichotomy between Wall Street and Main Street. He said that Wall Street had brought us to the crisis that we were in and that he was going to rebuild the economy from the bottom up. He was going to empower Main Street. He was going to hold Wall Street accountable. The first thing Barack Obama does after he's elected, he brings on all of the Wall Street people from the Clinton administration that deregulated Wall Street, that set up the crash. He held no one accountable. If you ask who recovered first, it was Wall Street. A case can still be made that Main Street has not recovered. We experienced none of the change from Obama that he ran on in 2008, and it was very disheartening. It turned me against the entire party.
There, you said that he didn't bring the change. I think one of the most effective changes that he did bring was the Affordable Care Act. I can't even tell how many millions of Americans that has impacted to this day. The don't ask, don't tell policy in the military. You look at the things that were being done overseas in the foreign affairs. I think there was significant change. There were significant military operations that happened. You think of the taking down of Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden.
Anthony, are you seeing more younger Black Americans say that they are going to vote Republican? Are you seeing a generational divide here?
I would say for me personally, I don't necessarily see that. I more see of them not voting or being involved in politics or steering towards the Independent Party or the Green Party, because I think there's a lot more focus on the environment and just being individualized. I think that's something that's consistent with Gen Z that we're seeing. They want to be very individual. So I don't see them steering towards a specific party, left or right. What I do see is just, you know, the falling out of political and civic engagement. I think that's more of a bigger concern for me. But I think in this election cycle, the media is sort of spurring and you're hearing more of people that are leaning towards Trump, I guess you could say. But I don't know if that number will hold up when the election is said and done.
In 1964, Lyndon B. Johnson got 92% of the Black vote. It was the most Black vote that any president had ever received in the United States until Barack Obama ran in 2008, and he got 96%. Every single election after that, Democrats have gotten less of the Black vote. In 2016, Donald Trump got 4% of the Black vote. He got 6% in 2020, and Donald Trump will get more of the Black vote than he got in 2020.
Do you think that the drop in the Black vote could cost Kamala Harris this election?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I disagree. I don't think it will impact the election. I think more of it's going to be an age and an income thing. There's definitely the undecideds going to decide the election. What you've heard from, you know, the Republican campaigns and constituents, there's definitely been a push to the African-American community on challenging them. Why have you voted blue? Why have you voted left this entire time? And I think there definitely is. There has been consideration of just going with the status quo. And I don't have a problem with that because I think it's just been called to light.
Anthony in Texas and Sam in California on their reasons for voting in the upcoming election. In their conversation, Anthony mentioned the Affordable Care Act, which is also referred to as Obamacare. It was a significant overhaul of the US healthcare system designed to extend health insurance to many Americans who lacked it. You're listening to BBC OS Conversations on Black and Latino male voters in the US from the BBC World Service.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somasganda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's widely accepted that this election race is very close, and in those key seven states I referred to earlier, it's said that gains among Black and Latino voters could be decisive. In Arizona and Nevada, for example, around 20 to 25% of voters are expected to be Latino. Pennsylvania is another important state for both candidates. It reportedly has one of the fastest growing Hispanic communities in the country. As you might expect, immigration is an issue that resonates with Latino communities. And before we play our next conversation, I just want to mention there is a reference to DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which protects from deportation those who were brought into the US illegally as children. One of our next guests, David, who's of Puerto Rican heritage, grew up in Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. He was in conversation with history student Jose, who's at a community college in Illinois, and Duke, who runs a Latino Republican website and lives in Texas.
I'm voting for Donald Trump for president because I know that he's going to take care of our border situation. I know he'll be better for our economy. He'll stop the inflation that we're dealing with here. I know he's more about security and safety for our communities, and he supports police.
My name is Jose. I will be probably voting for Kamala Harris. I think that we should look into expanding the pathway to citizenship or making it easier for people to obtain citizenship here. I also think that we shouldn't have an insurrectionist in office. I will be voting for Kamala because she seems to have a better view on economic and foreign policy.
My name is David. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because we were better 5 years ago than we are today. So I feel like Donald Trump will bring back, you know, that stability that we need in our nation. We have a lot of problems in this country, and we need solutions. We don't need to keep talking about, and in Spanish we call it bochinche. We need to be talking about how do we solve these problems, because we are in bad shape, let's admit that. I go to the supermarket with $150, $200. I used to bring home nice groceries. Now I can't do that. I need at least $400 or maybe more. And also the gas. The gas is expensive. I don't know how is it in Texas with you guys. Things are out of control. Wars overseas. You think those wars, printing that extra money is going to help our economy? No. You just can't go in and try to buy your way out of these wars. I don't live in Texas, but I'm going to tell you here in Pennsylvania, we have problems with immigrants. I mean, some of these folks, I'm not saying that everybody's bad, but then not everybody has good intentions either. We live it day by day. So when we hear Donald Trump repeat these things, yeah, he's with us because we feel it. Rent is high. The interest rates are high. It's ridiculous.
David and Duke, you both say you're going to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, this is a man who has said that immigrants have poisoned the blood of our country. He's promised the largest mass deportation of migrants in history. He has accused Mexico of bringing drugs, crime, and rapists into the US. You are Latinos of immigrant origin. How and why would you go for a man who says those kinds of things?
The premise of your question is false. The things that you're saying are kind of repeats of the leftist media that we deal with here. The things that he says, there's truth behind it. Maybe people don't want to acknowledge the facts that criminals, rapists, murderers are coming across the border. I'm in Texas here, so we see it. These people are getting arrested in our local cities and towns. Someone has to stop it. Someone has to call it out and not be afraid to say the truth.
Jose, what do you make of the comments that Donald Trump has said about immigrants?
I'm Mexican. He's made a lot of comments about Latinos, you know, calling them rapists in his rallies. I think that he's not mentally fit to be in office. I know a lot of people, when Biden was running, the issue was that he was too old. Now Trump's too old. He doesn't want to do mental tests. And on top of that, he's a felon. He just lowered the bar for any future president that we will have. And I think like the rest of the world was laughing at us. We shouldn't forget, you know, what happened when he ran the first time, you know, making fun of reporters, or to the point of him not being an insurrectionist. I literally have a piece of the transcript of the rally of the day of January 6th. And I mean, I'm reading through it, and a lot of it is just, it's just rhetoric that is going to cause an insurrection. And I'll also admit, with Biden in office, I wasn't all that confident either. So I agree with a lot of their points on the economy under Biden. But I also want to point out that independent economic policy review found that under Kamala, more people are going to see money in their pockets than under Trump.
Do you think Kamala is going to improve our economy based on her record already? Man, I don't even know how you could think that. I mean, more of the same is not going to be any better. And you know, it's tough here. Four more years of this economy and this country's in trouble.
Is this an issue that has split your families? Are your families and close friends voting the same way as you?
I can speak for my family. Many used to vote Democrat, and they're all voting for Trump.
Is this the first time that they are going to vote for Trump? They voted Democrat until this election?
No, they voted for him before, and they're going to vote for him again. But prior to him, they were all Democrat history voters.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I have family members that voted for Joe Biden, and now they're going to vote for Trump because they don't like the direction of the country's going. And also in my community, because I'm in Philadelphia, we have a lot of Democrat voters are going to vote for Trump.
I'm the only one that can vote at this time. Everyone else is on DACA. So this will be my first time voting on a presidential level. But the people who can vote in my family, they're all voting for the Democrats.
Do you think that there is a real risk to the Democratic Party by the drop of Latino voters this time around? Because the majority that Harris has among Latino voters, according to opinion polls, is much slimmer than Biden had and previous Democrats.
I do think that's going to be a problem, but I don't think it'll be as big of a problem than Donald Trump losing the moderate center right. People that I know are switching to Trump is a matter of economic policy, but then like the people that are staying for Kamala Harris is for the immigration aspect.
David, you're in Pennsylvania, arguably the most important swing state of the lot. Are you seeing there that the Latinos are deserting Harris?
Yes, I see the Latinos deserting the Democratic Party. One of the main reasons, the economy and the border and the foreign wars. We can expect change by keep doing the same thing over and over. And I'm going to tell you something. Kamala Harris, some people say, well, she's a woman. You know, Hillary Clinton was a woman. And I disagree a lot of stuff with Hillary Clinton. But at least Hillary Clinton was a leader. This lady is not a leader.
And I would say that, in my opinion, the conservative Latino voter is going to save this country. It will be the difference in a Trump victory. And it's because we see how the left is attacking our culture. The Latino culture, now they just want to call us all Latinx. No, I don't agree with that.
Do you think that the polarization, the divisions can lessen? Do you think you can reunite and become the United States of America again?
I do. There's a couple issues that we can work on together. I know Jose talked about pathway to citizenship. I'm not opposed to working on something, but it's got to be a bill that makes sense. We all want solutions. So I think there are ways that we can work together, but we do have to agree that America still is the greatest place on the planet. That's what
that
we think
correct.
Here. And, you know, if we can start with a common ground of, look, we're not perfect, but we're getting better. And let's come up with some solutions that do work for everybody. I think we can make progress. There can be unity.
Duke in Texas, Jose in Illinois, and David in Pennsylvania. They may not all agree politically, but you heard them agree that they all have pride in the country where they live. I'm Krupa Bhatti, and you've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.